Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show 163.
I thought it was 63. I wasn't sure.
It's 163. Apologies for my absence last week. We'll go into that a bit when the currently absent Dan Silva arrives, because God knows
where.
He's
late, isn't he?
He's late, yeah. He told us he'd be following us down from the office. It's 20 past one now. God knows. So at the moment, it's just me and Andy, but...
Done shows just to two of us.
We have, yeah. I think back in the day, I used to do the occasional bit of recording just on my own.
Really?
Not that many people listened, yeah. Michael Coxon Football News Round, I think it was.
Did you ever watch a game of football with the sound down with your mate and do the commentary?
Possibly as a child, I don't think so, though.
Me and my mate Johnny Chandler used to do that.
It's
actually quite fun.
We used to commentate on the computer games if they did have commentary already on sometimes, and then it just devolved into arguing and name calling, much like
That's
this
right.
show.
Well, much like this show.
Yeah. So I don't know where a nice place to start is without Dan here to
at least we don't get the Spurs match report. That's quite good.
Well, it's something. Did they draw at the weekend? I can't even remember. It was a pretty shitty.
Well, Adi Bayor's had his six games, of looking good, and he's got.
Yeah, because they were all kicking off about Shearwood. Who did he draw with?
Hull.
They did. 1-1.
1-1.
Yes.
Pretty boring.
And speaking of 1-1, we could start on Liverpool at West Brom.
We could.
So, Colo Torre.
Well,
I remember at the start of the season, all the Liverpool fans saying what a unearthed gem he'd been. And to be fair, he's won
more points than he's lost them this
probably.
Season. He's actually been a pretty inspired signing for the fact that he was really cheap, wasn't he?
Yeah. So he was free.
Well, there you go.
So, really cheap.
No, but I mean, his wages will be. Relatively high, but no, he was inexpensive, wasn't he? And I stand by that. I think he probably has won more points than lost.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think the big game's still about the weekend. Sorry, my head's not really been in football for the last week.
Why is that, Mike? Come on, tell us why.
Reasons.
Tell us why.
I don't really want to go into too many details. I need to say, quite a lot of upheaval in my life.
Oh.
We ended yesterday with. The news that I'm going to be moving to Sussex with my missus later this year.
Nearer to Brighton.
So, well, I'll be going to see Brighton, I think, once I'm down there, and maybe a few of the other clubs, Lewis and even Crawley.
On Brighton, because I picked up on this this morning, Brighton Hove Albion, so one of the challenges in the Championship, and a team that's obviously really got aspirations of going up. They got to the playoffs.
Not been in the top flight for 30-odd years.
That's interesting that off the back of one of their most successful seasons in a very, very long time with record, I think they had the record average attendance of anyone in the Championship last season.
Well, I think they had their record. I'm not sure they had more than anyone. Obviously, with clubs like Leeds. But they certainly must have been up
there. Highest ever ticket sales and the rest of it.
Most shits in the changing room.
And they announced the loss of... just under 15 million for 2012-2013 season. Now this is interesting because under the FFP rules of the current season that we're in, any club making loss of more than 8 million will be subject to sanctions by the Football League. Now that's interesting because you would view Brighton's season to have been very good. If they're taking good money on tickets, then you'd expect them to be performing better than a 15 million loss, basically. And the chief exec, Paul Barber of Brighton's come out and said, it shows the reality of football in the Championship and demonstrates a very high cost of being competitive.
And obviously a lot of things have happened at Brighton, like them presumably having to give quite a big payoff to Gus Poyet.
New signings, larger wage bills.
Yeah.
But that's worrying, isn't it? For a club like Brighton who, you would say is doing a lot of positive things to increase their profile in UK football.
Yeah.
But, I mean... I think that just demonstrates how difficult it is to win promotion.
It's a very hard league to get out of, as the old cliche goes, and it's also a very hard league to be sustainable, as is the health of the Football League and the non-league system. And I do think over the next 10-15 years there is going to be a major upheaval both in the number of clubs we have, because eventually, I mean, I've seen it at home with Northwich Vicks, who got to the brink of going bust and are still just about surviving, but numerous other clubs who've just disappeared and likes of Halifax, Chester,
interestingly,
or Phoenix clubs. But
when we're on this, so Reading, a team which has made it to the dizzy heights of the Premiership, isn't there
number
now,
of occasions, yeah.
And well, they're sitting in sixth at the moment in the Championship, but and this goes on to maybe benefits of foreign ownership and where you get your money from as a club, but John Majewski's had to take control of the football club again, hasn't he? So he sold his majority share stake to Anton Zingarevich,
the Russian,
who, well, basically his continued absence of I don't think he's been to a game since sort of midway last season. He's not been around, they're trying to sell the club and no one's actually taking the reins. And actually, the club's doing really well. Like I say, they're in sixth.
They're one of the
four
teams in the Championship. One of the four. They've had a few big results.
They knocked seven past Bolton.
Yeah.
7-1 against Bolton.
Speaking of which, bumped into old Pravatnik the other day. He was down in London. He was.
He would have done the show as well, wouldn't he?
He would have, but he was chipper as always, apart from when it comes to Bolton's fortunes. Well, hopefully, we'll have him on the show again soon.
Yeah. But, you know, Reading looking for increased investment to try and help them, you know, get over that final hurdle of getting up. But foreign ownership.
Yeah.
Your club's in foreign ownership. Would you say it's a positive or a negative thing?
It doesn't bother me that they're foreign. What bothers me is the way they're running the club. But I think it's, unfortunately, it's endemic of people coming into the game that don't understand the game and treating it as a business, in that they are putting a lot of clubs in peril. There's so many, and I don't think it'll ever really affect Man United or Man City or Chelsea. People always talk about the fact that, oh, if Abramovich decides to walk away from Chelsea, they're in trouble. They won't be, because they're a big enough club now, as are Man City, that someone else will buy them and keep it going. I think the worry,
yeah, I agree with that.
The worry is there's a lot of these smaller clubs, and it isn't always just foreign owners. We were talking about yesterday with the crook at Darlington, who built a 25,000 seat stadium, and Darlington are another club who've actually gone bust and had to reform.
And that's not foreign ownership, by the way. That's just a dodgy businessman.
But it's more. It seems to be more common with foreign owners buying small clubs with aspirations of turning them into huge clubs without understanding the nuances. So say, for example, and to be fair, one of the better foreign owners, but Tony Fernandez at QPR, got in there, ploughed money in, hoping to make QPR this massive team, without thinking, well, you've got Chelsea on the doorstep, you've got Arsenal, you've got Tottenham, you've got West Ham.
Do you know what?
All on the doorstep.
I prepared something in case we needed something to talk about, and I think the way that you've gone about this, it's perfect to mention it. So let's ignore the Premier League for now.
Yeah.
But and this is according to Wikipedia, but if you go down the list of professional football clubs in the UK leagues, let's look at the clubs who have foreign ownership and let's see where they've been and where they are now.
Yeah.
So Birmingham City, is alphabetically. So Carson Young, let's do a quick fire yes or no. Is it positive or negative foreign ownership?
Or should the owner pass the fit and proper persons test? In which case, it's a resounding no for on trial Carson Young.
I think we go negative on Birmingham City.
Well, given that they were in the top flight, won the League Cup, have gone down, and he's pretty much withdrawn all support. In fact, it was announced this week he was leaving the board. He's still majority shareholder, but he needs to focus on his it's not extortion, it's it's some sort of fraud.
Very dodgy.
Dodgy as fuck.
You wouldn't want him running your football club, would you? No fucking way. All right, Blackburn Rovers.
Venky's, the way they did thing with Allardyce and Steve Keane and all that was just a farce. But at the same time, it's quieting down a lot there, and financially, the ship is steady. Blackburn should be a Premier League team. They're big enough.
They won't be this season.
They won't be
at the start of next season anyway.
No.
Then let's go down to, we'll look at majority stakes or more,
or equal.
So Bournemouth, this seems to be working quite well. So you've got family ownership with Mr. and Mrs. Eddie Mitchell, and then Maxim Demin, who's Russian.
Yeah.
Joint 50-50 partnership. Now, Bournemouth seems to be doing very well.
They were
certainly the best team that Brentford played last season. They went up. They seem to be doing very well. I think out of the three teams that went up into the Championship from League One last year, they're the ones that will probably
a bit of a surprise package. They're not flying as much as they were at the start of the season, but it is quite refreshing to see them up there.
Charlton Athletic, Belgian owner. I didn't know this.
I didn't. And
a guy called Roland Duchatelet.
And with all respect to Charlton, though, I think Charlton, they had a very good 10-year spell in the Premier League under Alan Kirbishley.
But we can't say that Charlton are where they are because of foreign ownership.
No, I think they're back to the level that they are, given talking about London.
We'd say positive for them, wouldn't we?
Well, I'd say neutral. But, I mean, going through it, obviously we won't reel through all of these.
No.
Go on. Derby
are doing all right.
Derby are doing all right.
They seem to be doing well. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So, Leeds United. So, they're finance.
All the crap that's going on at Leeds this week. We talk of the Italian fella trying to buy them, sacking Brian McDermott, but then he's not sacked and he's back there. I mean, Leeds have been a shambles even before foreign ownership, to be fair.
The previous owner. It was Ridsdale, wasn't it? I mean, Ridsdale got
Ridsdale
them into that
chairman,
situation,
yeah,
and ever since then, Ken Bates and the rest of them.
Yeah.
Let's fire through them then. Leicester City are tie owned, but they're doing all right, so we'd say positive.
My favourite incident at Bangkok Airport, they've got two Leicester City club shops, one in arrivals, one in departure. Brilliant.
We've mentioned Tony Fernandez, QPR.
Hey, Danze.
Hey. Just going through positive
foreign
and
owners.
Negative foreign ownership of clubs in the UK.
That sounds really boring.
Well, fuck off then.
Welcome to the show, Dan.
Sorry, I held up on
Wednesday
a
Wednesday with Mandarich. I mean, Mandarich got Portsmouth into a terrible situation.
Yeah.
He's not doing much more for Wednesday, is he?
Well, you know, I don't think he's doing a particularly bad job at Wednesday, but he's not someone I would particularly trust with my club.
Fair enough. You know what I mean? And Watford are doing all right under Italian ownership.
Well, Watford are having a poor season this season by their standards, but obviously they've got this massive international setup with Granada and Udinese being linked to them.
Yeah.
I think that will become more common over the years. But you know,
and Coventry, look at where they're sitting. The Finnish owners.
Right, Coventry's just depressing. But
and there's no, I don't. I think Coventry. Well, Sheffield United.
They're definitely doing well. But yeah, so foreign ownership.
It's not great. Bad. And then you worry about some of the teams in the Premiership. So, Cardiff, Vincent Tan, would you view that as positive or negative?
Well, I think Vincent Tan is in the, Vincent Tan's in the right
spot. Love Vincent Tan.
For the benefit of our listeners who can't see Dan's face, he did smile. Well, actually, it's one of the biggest smiles I've seen in your face for a long time.
Well,
the name Vincent Tan.
Just going back to Vincent Tan, we'll move off this now. He's almost got the right idea in the sort of club to buy. So we're talking about our foreign owners, they come in and they, like Tony Fernandez at QPR, think, oh, I'll buy a London club, I can make them huge, and don't think that, oh wait, everyone already spots Chelsea or Arsenal or Tottenham or West Ham or Fulham or anyone else on the doorstep. Vincent Tan's almost got the right idea because Cardiff, big city, one football club.
Heart of a country, one might.
Heart of a country,
one might argue.
Heart of rugby land, but you can try and convert some people to football, and there is also a big football following. Anyway, that's the right idea. Going to somewhere like Reading, small club, outskirts of London, you're not going to as easily create a super club. You're not going to create Man United.
Very true.
And likewise, you're from Birmingham City, going to have Aston Villa on the doorstep, but.
But I mean, if you try and interfere with the way that a club's run and stop someone like Malky Mackay from doing his job properly, then your fans aren't going to enjoy having you as the owner of the club.
Speaking of not doing his job properly, God, I've only been here 2 minutes, I've already got 10 minutes linking. Have we mentioned Joe Kinnear?
No, mate, saving that one up.
He's not doing any job now, though, is he?
No.
I was going to print off a list of quotes and I forgot, but I mean, just, everyone knows them, didn't they?
There's so many. Alan Pardew's got to be sitting there, like, rubbing his hands together, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's finally, hopefully, might get more control over things as well, but I mean, that was always a weird one.
Yeah.
But
if anyone wants to recap on just how hilarious Joe Kinnear was, pick up a copy of the Daily Mirror and read what Brian
Reid had to say.
Don't
pick up a copy of the Daily Mirror.
You won't be able to by the time the show's live.
Read Brian Reid and what he had to say about it. He sums it up perfectly.
I have to say that I hate Brian Reid.
Why?
That's because
he's a scouser.
He's never written a positive word about Man United in his life. It frustrates me that that's the newspaper.
Apparently, Mike Ashley is not immediately looking to directly replace the position of director of football.
I wonder why that is.
No shit.
Dennis Wise was good there.
Oh, yeah.
Give
oh,
it a few
shit,
weeks.
No, he wasn't, was he?
He'll have Harry Bassett in there doing it or someone, or...
Where was Alan Kirbishley? Why did I read Alan Kirbishley's name the other day?
Kirbishley's at Fulham.
That was it.
Director of football there, isn't
it? Yeah.
Alan Kirbishley is a tremendous victim of not being popular in football because he did a pretty good job at West Ham. Got them to, I think they were ninth in the league in his last season. I think he finished a place below Tottenham.
He set his sights far too high on his next job, didn't he?
Set his heights far too high.
Got overlooked.
Not popular, and not had a job since.
Speaking of West Ham and high heights, God, this is just... I mean, you can't write this sort of stuff. Saw Big Andy Carroll downstairs a couple of days ago. Never actually seen him, as in walked straight past him. And you don't actually realise he's a fucking big lad.
I know.
He's huge. He really is. And you I mean you can't miss him with his long flowing locks and
yeah.
I mean, he is. I wouldn't fancy going up against a header against
him. We used to work with Johnny. He bumped into, and he's a Newcastle fan. He bumped into Andy Carroll downstairs a couple of times.
Really?
He is. I mean,
no pun intended.
He is.
No pun intended. Well, they don't know Johnny, so they won't know that. But
yeah, he's a big
but man. Last week I saw Santi Cazorla downstairs.
Did you?
Getting into a taxi. He looked like a dick.
Why did he look like a dick?
No, as a person, he looked perfectly normal. But the clothes, he looked like a typical Spanish footballer. A very
sombrero?
Tight denim jacket with a load of chains.
Is it the way that Terry would dress?
No. Far less class than that. It's the way that a member of the Wenger Boys might dress when they weren't dressed up as a sailor or a... what was the other Wenger Boy who wasn't a girl? They had a sailor and they had...
No idea.
Bus driver?
A soldier.
All right.
Bus driver would have been better.
As we've been talking about, British managers who have fallen out of flavour with management roles, Glenn Hoddle.
He's in the frame for the Swansea job, apparently. Would
you have him? Would you have him?
Well, I'm not sure you would. I think the best place on that, Michael Laudrup, did he deserve to go or not?
Well, after his little jaunt to Paris, possibly.
He didn't really give Hugh Jenkins much of a choice, did he? Yeah. I mean, it's not showing the sort of...
It is weird timing, though. It is weird timing.
Yeah. Because they're still in the UEFA Cup as well, aren't they? Or Europa League, or whatever you want to call
it. He's been making a lot of noise since last summer, though, about being unhappy, and there's been talk of arguments behind the scenes. And
I was thinking about this the other day, actually, when I was reading about... I mean, again, about... The potential of Sherwood to stick around at Spurs, or whether they're going to get Van Gaal in the summer and stuff. And then people are going, oh, no, you've got to look at the chairman, at Levy and stuff. And I've completely lost my train of thought.
You just wanted to talk about Spurs.
No, I didn't.
What were you doing, looking at your reflection in the window?
No, I mean, I am lost in my own eyes sometimes.
You do look a bit...
What was the fucking point we were talking about?
Well, we were talking about giving managers a chance, or Glenn Hoddle deserved to go, or jaunts to Paris.
Obviously, Mike and I weren't really listening to you properly either.
Easy.
Do you know what? I've just completely drifted off then.
Can I just talk about something completely random from what we were saying?
Yeah.
I've got a quote of the week.
Go on.
I have nothing to prove, I'm Samuel Eto'o, and I don't have to show anything to anyone. I think that's brilliant.
Well, I think that's his right as a human being to not have to show anyone anything if he doesn't want to.
But I mean, you know, it's a bit of a bold statement.
It's going to really piss me off. Now,
speaking of arrogant, have you
Zlatan.
Seen what Zlatan said to Cristiano?
He sent him a t-shirt.
Zlatan's now on Twitter.
He sent him a t-shirt.
He's on Twitter,
Zlatan is now on Twitter, and I think it's going to provide me with hours of entertainment. And obviously he refers to himself in the third person absolutely every
what
tweet.
What language does he write in? Because apparently he's fluent in about seven languages.
Well, it's English. All of his tweets are in English, I've seen.
It wouldn't surprise me if, much like the Pope, he has accounts in different languages, and obviously of the same importance as the Pope. So,
but I like the fact that Cristiano. Sorry, you were saying.
It's Cristiano Ronaldo's birthday. Happy birthday to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Not so happy after he got a 3-game ban.
In fact, no,
he can enjoy his birthday.
In fact, I remember now, because it was also my friend Birch's birthday yesterday, and I remember we was discussing this. This is going way back.
It's Ronaldo, Januzaj,
I think it's Carlos Tevez.
Tevez and Ronaldo. Yeah.
The 5th of February is the best day to be born if you want to be a footballer.
Yeah.
And put it this way, my mate Birch, whose birthday it was, we used to call him James Birchall, which will go on to Eric Jemba Jemba. That's where it came from.
Someone snapped him up, didn't they?
Saint Mirren Asylum. And have you read what his agent was talking about?
Actually,
about his,
I can't believe he's only 32.
Well, he's from Cameroon, isn't he?
I can't believe the clubs he's played for after United. Burnley, Qatar Sports, Odense, Tel Aviv.
Partizan Belgrade. He was at Aston Villa. But his agent was talking about how he had to take control of his finances because apparently he just has no concept of money.
Brilliant.
He just apparently had like 10 Range Rovers and he had about 50 credit cards and he'd just pay on a random one.
Brilliant.
And apparently he used to take his agent 4 hours every day just to sort his finances out for the day.
Good old Eric.
I'd like to. He should write an autobiography.
But we never actually revealed Zlatan Ibrahimovic for Cristiano Ronaldo's birthday sent him a t-shirt reading "Dare to Zlatan."
As what? Yeah, wrapped in Zlatan special wrapping paper. You can get Zlatan special wrapping paper.
Where?
I'm not entirely sure, but
I
it was.
Some.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. But I really like the fact that. Do you see Cristiano replied?
I haven't actually.
Cristiano replied back saying thank you very much for the present, Zlatan. Although it's going to look a lot better on me than it would on you. Sorry, along those lines. And I like that. I like the.
Thing is, I can imagine them being really good friends.
Yeah.
And having that to a point. And then the arrogance to take over and they'll have a massive falling out.
Yeah, but they've definitely got that mutual respect and you can see that. Yeah, I'd like to think they'd go for a little cheeky pint somewhere.
Messi and Ronaldo don't like each other.
I can understand.
I can't really see them having like a cheeky pint. I can see them maybe going and having some sparkling Perrier water and some oysters or something.
True.
Fair enough.
True. With Zlatan in like a golden robe or something.
And it'll all be white marble and stuff. It'll be brilliant. Speaking of Ronaldo, have you been down to Sainsbury's recently?
No.
No, because if you do...
You shop in Sainsbury's?
I shop in Sainsbury's, yeah. Very middle class.
Oh, any Sainsbury's. I've been into a Sainsbury's,
Into a Sainsbury's. But have you been down to the Sainsbury's that is now the local supermarket of the original Ronaldo? Or
no.
Fat Ronaldo, he's unkind. Have you not seen the picture?
Yeah.
No. He's over it.
Which Sainsbury's, where was it?
I think it was somewhere around Fulham.
That's the big Sainsbury's that I go to. Right, I'm just going to hang out.
Well,
I'm just
going to
hang out at the big Sainsbury's.
Well, we've spoken about this quite a lot. He's over. Finally, he's doing his internship.
Yeah, because we said that
Martin Sorrell.
I thought the fact that wasn't happening anymore.
He is doing this marketing.
He
thing,
is, yeah. It? He's there doing it. And there's a picture of him in Sainsbury's with a really healthy shopping trolley. He's got a pineapple. He's got what looks like some lean mints. He's full shopping trolley, and he's actually looking quite trim for Ronaldo. Anyway,
Yeah.
But
you've been a bit generous, possibly.
Trimmer than he was.
Trimmer, yeah. I mean, that's like saying.
Yeah, that's like. Yeah, at least he's not got a daft haircut anymore. Let's put it that way. But yeah.
Learn to describe better.
Can
I couldn't even think of an analogy.
Can you imagine bumping into Ronaldo in your local Sainsbury's?
No. Or
equivalent footballer, maybe bumping into Stuart Ripley in Lidl.
What? Stuart Ripley in Lidl.
Well, I bumped into. Into bloody Matter in my pub, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
I mean, he was there obviously on it. I mean, it's a Sprauncy pub.
Yeah, five minutes in a pub and he's moved up north.
That's it.
He was in a tracksuit. He'll be down the Rovers
he was
right
in a track
now.
Suit.
Yeah.
Chavved up.
Proper chavved up. I thought it was a little chav. Turned out it was Juan Mata.
I think Juan Mata is bringing back the 1980s United ethos, nipping down the pub straight after training for 15 pints and a night out and a fight. He's going to be down there with Paul McGraw.
But have we actually talked about? Do you
reckon Ozzy
used
to do that with the Spurs boys?
No, he wasn't. He was a good boy, Ozzy.
Ricky Villa wasn't, though. He was a bad boy, wasn't he?
Ricky Villa was awesome.
Was Ozzy Ardiles the designated driver, though? Because that'd be a bit worrying.
Oh, wow.
He's all right, though, isn't he?
We talked about the fact that we reckon Juan Mata is probably one of the few professionals that has moved between one big club to another and actually still loved by both fans and has come out of it really, really well.
Chelsea fans wanted him to play and he weren't playing, so they understand why he wanted to go.
And he wrote the open letter saying... Look,
to be fair, certainly in the modern era, because, I mean, they weren't a big club at the time, but obviously going in the opposite direction, Mark Hughes moved from United to Chelsea and always had... A good sort of
thing. That's old
even
school.
Even when Chelsea was challenging, but yeah.
In the modern game.
Would be the classic.
But
in the modern game.
But Hughes was getting on a bit at that point.
Yeah. As was Pat Jennings, although he went on to play for about another 10 fucking years.
Yeah. But I mean, I think he's almost the consummate professional, Mata. Like, he's come out of it so well. and he wants some. It's not like he's money grabbing.
He's that player of the season for two years in a row.
I have to say, I can't think of anyone else, certainly in this country. I mean, maybe. I mean, we don't obviously get the same coverage, but I can imagine someone like Clarence Seedorf is maybe still held in quite high regard by Inter fans.
Well, he's manager of AC now, isn't he?
Well, and he played
and turned things around by the looks of things.
Did we talk about how Man United still managed to lose to Stoke even with the trio?
We haven't talked about many results. We did talk about Spurs briefly, and we didn't speak about Sunderland's excellent win there.
I'm really upset that wasn't on. They actually put West Ham Swansea on instead of Newcastle Sunderland.
Absolutely.
Do you know what? I ended up switching over and watching the QPR Burnley.
Very good game.
And I was like, it was a much better spectacle. It was just, I mean, come on, the bloody tiny weird derby, like.
Yeah, that is one of the games that you would expect to be on TV. There are certain fixtures that are always on TV.
Yeah.
And that would be one of them.
Yeah, it's a real shame. Apparently, it got moved for a certain reason originally. Got moved for a reason originally, and then, you know, then
the police sources requested
probably something to do with
the police.
And what do we think of this red card?
Who's Carroll's?
Pretty much bam.
I mean,
because West Ham are taking this to a further tribunal, aren't they?
You swing your arm, you're asking for it.
Did he swing his arm, or was it just natural movement?
No, I think there's an argument for that. No, but there was the look on his face as well. There was an expression of anger on his face. No, not really, but you could just. There was gritted teeth, there was that expression of anger on his face, and it doesn't do him any favours.
Does he not look like that all the time anyway?
Nah.
He's a Geordie.
I mean, I think it's harsh, but. I think that unfortunately.
Three matches though.
Yeah, I don't know why it's three matches. Oh, because it's violent conduct.
No.
There's different levels. We were talking about this.
But Ronaldo's getting
afterwards.
Three match ban. I mean.
No, but that's because it was a one match ban. No, it was a one match ban.
I mean, it's been three. Yeah, it's been increased to three, isn't it?
No, but do you know why?
Go on.
No. So it's because of the gesture when he's walking off the pitch.
Really?
Yeah, so it was a one-match ban for the actual incident.
And then
I'm not sure what it was, but it was the extra two-match ban was as a result of a gesture he made whilst walking off the pitch.
Was it the sort of thing like, do you know who I am sort of thing?
Probably. Yeah. Although, did you see the game last night? Atletico?
Well, it's unbelievable. I've actually got it down.
It was a good game.
It was fucking tasty, wasn't it?
Two own goals.
Dirty bastard. Well,
deflection.
Yeah.
Where the fuck has
Diego
Emiliano Insua come from?
Yeah, I know.
I actually had a look because I thought he's been at Atletico for a year, but he's played about four games.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a strange.
Diego Costa, though.
Who's the Real Madrid youngster?
The one
that scored last night. The homegrown.
Homegrown.
Can't remember his bloody name. He looked like a talent. But,
four letters.
But yeah. Yeah. Four letters.
Four letters. Starts with.
Can't remember.
But it was from almost the first minute. I mean, I thought.
I thought Simeone was going to get sent from the stands at one stage
but
as well.
Fuck me. I mean, did you see the stamping on ankles, the on Achilles, the knees in the back?
Pepe, horrible player, isn't he?
And fucking Arbeloa. After Pepe getting booked for an off-the-ball incident, then as they're retreating back for the free kick, he knees Diego Costa in the back. And like,
it could have been quite a few red cards last time.
It was bloody entertaining.
In the other semi-final, what an own goal. Have you seen the own goal in the Barcelona game?
I had it on, but I didn't know. I went outside for a cigarette and it came back, it was 2-0.
Defender goes to make it clear and smacks it straight into the goalkeeper.
That's,
and goes
I heard
in.
Him go, what
really,
an own goal.
If anyone's interested in watching it.
Oh, so he's behind. He's between
sort
the goal.
Sort of in line. No. So there's a defender who.
Defender's in line with the goalkeeper, goes to clear it, slices it, and hits it in the back of the net.
Who's the Mexican strike? Alexis Sanchez?
Yeah.
Chilean. He hits the post. The ball beats the keeper. The ball comes out wide right. Fullback goes to clear the ball, but sort of clears it across goal and smacks it straight into his goalkeeper
and goes in. There's a lot of stick over Messi's performance, well, from the commentary anyway. There was basically saying he's nowhere near match fit, he's not the same Messi and blah blah blah.
Well, it's interesting because obviously he is probably the greatest player of this generation by maybe not quite a distance, because that would be unfair to the likes of Ronaldo, but
I don't think
and
so.
Zlatan.
And Zlatan's obviously a level above. He transcends football. But
and Jemba.
But there are very few players who've managed to sustain being the greatest in the world for more than a period of 3, 4, well, maybe 5 years. Even Zidane came through 98, and you would argue at times there were other players like the original Ronaldo who surpassed him.
No, Figo was up there,
Rivaldo. He was.
Yeah, but that's, with all due respect, and I agree, but that's in your opinion, if you know what I mean, there isn't. If you asked a massive group of people, you wouldn't, not necessarily all of them would say this man, Zidane or something like that. Whereas, I wonder whether
Messi has plateaued and now will start to decline in his influence, certainly.
Yeah, he can't.
Also, the style he plays, he's not the sort of player who can convert necessarily to be a deeper or stronger player. He's so small and he relies so much on his dribbling. And to an extent, his pace. I mean,
yeah. But and what was interesting as well is they were saying that in the games that he's missed compared to the games earlier in the season where he played, Barca have scored more goals.
Well, Pedro's been playing really well since he's come back. Neymar's been saying that when Messi's on the pitch,
they're too focused about playing around him.
So this is the sort of Henri factor at the end of his Arsenal career, where actually he was doing more harm than good.
Yeah, I mean, which is obviously still
a bit of a stretch.
It sounds ridiculous to say about Messi, but I mean, it makes sense. You know, the idea if a team's not, if there's no focal point around one player, and they always look to play it into his feet for him to then create something. Where if you take him out of the equation, it brings more players to influence the game more, and they score more goals. I hope I'm a mess we've been going for years. I hope it's obviously he's been injured. Yeah. That'll be a blip in form.
There is the prospect of a El Clasico final in the Spanish,
pretty much it's going to happen, isn't it?
Well, 2-0 and 3-0, it's going to happen.
There's also the prospect as well, though, of neither of the teams winning La Liga, because Atletico are now 3 points clear at the top.
Well, that's the first time they've lost in how long? Atletico.
Something ridiculous, but it's the first time they've been top of the league for something like 12 years.
Oh, more than that, I think.
They last won it in 1999 or 2000. They last won it.
It's one of those worrying things, though, isn't it? Because if they don't win the league this year, and they've got a great chance of doing it, then it's a bit like Dortmund, maybe. Well,
if they lose Diego Costa and stuff
Or Simeone, the manager. Yeah. You know, I think you only need the manager or someone like Costa to go, and suddenly everyone else wants to leave as well. It'd be a shame because it's good to see another big team in Spain challenging Madrid.
But ultimately, look at someone like Borussia Dortmund, who maybe not the same. They've still got Klopp, but.
Sorry, really quickly.
Photobombing.
Yeah. Klopp photobombing. What an absolute
get online lad. And
Jürgen
check him
Klopp,
out.
The king of photobombing. Sorry. You know what I really like about the Copa del Rey is the fact that they have the two legs over a week. I really like the fact that, in
the space of 7 days.
This week is the one, and then you've got to pick yourself up, and next week you've got to do the same thing again.
That's something that annoys me with the Champions League this season. To think we play Olympiacos.
It's a 2 week break, isn't it?
It's a 3 week break. We play Olympiacos in about 10 days' time, and then we don't play him for another month. And then it obviously gets closer and closer together as you run out of time towards the end of the season. But that's ridiculous.
More of a problem if you're Arsenal playing Munich rather than United playing Olympiacos.
But for a fan, it's still frustrating. You want these games to go quickly. You want the revenge. You don't want the passion to be taken out.
That's it. There's something special about having the first leg 1 week and next week having the second leg. It just makes it.
I like it in the qualifying playoffs for international tournaments where you have one game on the Friday or the Saturday, the next game on the Tuesday or the Wednesday.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But,
So it keeps up the buzz, without a doubt.
Yeah, definitely. But
I had a load of stuff that I was going to talk about, and I've forgotten it all.
Well, here's one for you. I think it's been covered quite widely. But the Metropolitan Police playing in the Isthmian League.
That is really funny.
I think it was Tuesday, they had played 27 games before Tuesday, because they played subsequently. So before Tuesday, they played 26 games before last weekend.
Right, because they played 26, and on the 27th...
On the 27th, I think they drew...
They either won,
lost or drew.
Should we just work on the 26 games?
No, because it's all about the 27th, then.
After the 27th game, and bear in mind, this is the Metropolitan Police, they had a record of played 27, won 9, drawn 9... Lost 9.
Can't write that shit, can you, man?
Yeah.
Can't write
the
at
only
it.
Way we've
their stats are 999. In case you didn't get that. In case any of our
the
listeners
the only way
get
it
that.
Would have been better is if they'd won their first 9 games of the season and then lost and drawn and gone on a bad run, so they could have at least started with 9-1-1. Then got on to
do you reckon Yuri Geller will claim some
I reckon Yuri Geller, yeah, he's probably moved the ball on the penalty spot.
One person we haven't talked about, and I'd like to make sure we talk about him, because it's just so good that he's back in English football, Jose Mourinho. I absolutely
you do realise he came back last May.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about him since last May, but actually, do you know what? In probably the biggest game of the season so far, Chelsea Man City.
It's really annoying.
Two contrasting managing.
It's really annoying.
Styles.
They were fucking brilliant.
Mourinho has outdone Manchester
City. Chelsea were brilliant.
And Pellegrini on literally every scale.
You know what? It won't count for anything unless Mourinho can now orchestrate them winning the title, because Man City will.
No,
still...
but he can't, because they're only a little horse.
Obviously.
Little horse.
They are only a little horse.
Yeah, needs to learn how to jump.
They do. Oh, though the jockey. Who's the jockey? What's his name? The fucking masseuse, the Scottish masseuse.
Oh,
he's
God,
fucking hilarious, apparently.
This is brilliant.
Anyone
saw this.
On YouTube yet?
No, but I'm sure someone saw this.
Loads of videos of him on YouTube. He's apparently the biggest joke.
This is hang on, let me just explain who it is. This is the Chelsea masseuse, the Scotsman who apparently gave the team talk ahead of the Man City game. And Mourinho was quoted as saying, I don't know what he did, I couldn't even understand what he was saying, but apparently the players really, really liked it. And apparently he kept, direct quote from Mourinho, he kept saying, grr, 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 that's all I could understand. but it worked.
Fair enough.
Apparently he's got a Scottish accent, but with a Cockney twist.
Oh, God.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, that sounds scary.
If it was a drink, I'd try it.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I think that's hilarious. But no, that was genius. That was, I mean, it was, he got it spot on.
I think. And Pellegrini really didn't, unfortunately.
No.
The thing is, like I was saying, Chelsea need to try and kick on now, because they've done very well in a number of big games. At least, you might not like them parking the bus at times, but they've been effective. They've not been losing the big games. And the problem they're going to have is
he beats his rivals.
Great.
Mourinho doesn't lose his rivals.
And Dan and I probably have to sort of backtrack on what we talked about last week. You know, when we talked about the fact that Chelsea go into these big games
and park in the bus.
No, they really didn't. It was a pleasure to watch a team like Chelsea actually go for it.
Fieldy was saying, the guy at work was saying that he actually, for probably the only second time of his life,
enjoyed watching Chelsea.
No, he wanted them to win.
Yeah.
He wanted them to win, because it was like they were just doing brilliantly. And I was talking about this on the way back from footy the other day. Obviously, having never played at that sort of level, right? I've played at a half decent level, but it's still, you don't know the team you're playing inside out, right? And you know where your strengths are, and there's certain tactics for the team, right? But it's, I can't even imagine being a professional football player, right, and having told your exact role down to a T. Whereas obviously, you have got to stay between this area of the pitch, only make those runs at those times and do that and do that.
And if you do it wrong, so much, you know that every blade of grass you cover and everything you do will be microscopically looked at.
Or counts for nothing. And you think, I think it's for me, it's becoming more and more apparent how these tactics. So a team like Hull, Hull Spurs. The Tottenham players are better than the Hull players, right? As a whole, one team is better than the other team, right? As you look at the team as a whole. However, they're saying that the way that Steve Bruce completely outfoxed Sherwood. Sherwood's going to get the ball wide, he's going to play with two up front, they're going to get the ball wide, he's going to try and get balls into the box. So what we're going to do, we're going to flood the wings. So he literally, so the first half, he completely flooded the wings, gave the fullbacks cover over there, and the left and right side of players cover, and completely stopped Spurs playing.
But Bruce has also sort of pointed out a bit of naivety on Sherwood's part, and that's the fact that, look, Sherwood's, you know, gone on record, he's gone in front of cameras, pundits have talked about it, I'm going to play 4-4-2, I'm going to play attacking, I'm going to do this. Have a little bit of nous, change it up a little bit.
We did against Swansea. He did against Swansea, which is what I commented on.
People are much more aware of what they're going to expect from Tottenham, and the fact, and we talked about this just before you got here as well, is that Adebayor, everyone knows that he's trying to play. Not that he's performed that well in the last couple of games, but you know you're coming up against
but
you know, a striker is in form as well. So there's less of a surprise to Tottenham. Ben Taleb, everyone knows who he is now suddenly. So I think Sherwood's got to try and pick his results up and try and change it up a little.
Well, I think he will with the players coming back in. I think it'll make a big difference. But yeah, I think just showing that. It just proved once again that Mourinho is a fucking tactical genius for all the shit you give him.
Speaking of tactical geniuses, what about John van der Schip?
He's turning things around.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Which is a real shame for John Aloisi.
Because
it makes him look really shit.
Well, but to be fair.
More of a shame for, and that's Andre Doubleson. Hi, Andre, you've been in the stick all season.
No, do you know what? I can't take that man seriously anymore. I refuse to actually even accept that he exists. I'm sorry. He sent a message to the podcast. I am publicly shaming you on the football podcast that he not only supports Western Sydney Wanderers, he also supports Sydney FC.
I reckon it's just Jim Staples trolling us.
I'm sorry, but you can support. I feel very passionate about it. I'm a Brighton boy, right? So I'm from Brighton, but my family's originally from North London. I was brought up in Brighton. I was told that I was a Spurs fan from day one. I had no choice. I'm a Spurs fan. That's where my family's originally from. I grew up in Brighton. I have an affiliation and a little bit of a love for Brighton Hove Albion. But that's like saying I support Tottenham and Arsenal. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's quite a statement from Dan.
It's fucking ridiculous.
If you take one quote away from this show,
that's light.
It's Dan saying I support Tottenham.
That's like saying I support. Come on, Michael. That's not even.
We work for a newspaper. We'll edit all we like. I'm joking, of course. But I get your point because obviously, growing up in Northwich, I used to go much to Northwich. Yeah. And people always said, oh, it'd be great if United played Northwich in the FA Cup, which you do occasionally. But if that happened, I'd want United to scuff them.
Yeah, you can't support both teams in the fucking seat. Anyway, it was an absolute masterclass from Hart. They went one.
Did you watch the game?
No, because it was on a Friday morning here in the UK, Andrew, and I work very hard and wouldn't possibly have it on in the background whilst I was pretending to do work. Yeah, I totally watched it. No, I watched the second half because by the time we got in, the second half kicked off. I didn't realise that Hart were down to 10 men after 38 minutes, I think it was, or 34 minutes.
Who got sent off?
Engelaar. Wow. Engelaar got sent off. And they conceded almost straight away after that. But the second half, they were absolutely magnificent. Equalised to make it 1-1, and then the Golazo to win it with about 5 to go, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it was.
I haven't seen it though.
I think it might have been a few minutes to go. I mean, but they bossed that second half with 10 men, and I can't remember who scored the goal. My mind's gone blank. I'm not with it today.
Let's just say run away to the playoffs.
He picked it up on the halfway line, drove at goal, and slotted it in. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
So at least that's some good news for Man City fans that their other club...
We hadn't mentioned...
I wasn't here last week to discuss it, so...
No, I don't think we did. No, and Man City tweeted their support to Melbourne Heart on the victory.
Well, I tell you what, I am going to happily back Melbourne Heart until the end of this season, and then we're going to have to sit down and have a think. Whether I can have a creation in the club or my Manchester City is another thing.
There's already more stuff comes out about the training facilities, the money is going to get pumped into Hart,
too much money goes in there, they're going to be in danger of not making the financial fair play, they won't get into the championship.
Leave it out, so. Michael. No, but they're talking about the Man City youth players going on loan to Melbourne Hart as experience for a year, going out to play in Australia. I mean, this could be, it's huge for Hart, hopefully.
And it could be a game changer for the Australian leagues if Man City do it. Who wants to stop Chelsea or Man United or Liverpool doing
exactly
it? Especially someone like Liverpool who have a humongous following in Australia. I mean, food for thought.
There's one thing that has been pretty massive in the last 24 hours that we haven't managed to talk about.
Well, I don't think maybe this
is it. Anders Lindegaard's really fit girlfriend that he tweeted about.
No, I haven't seen her actually.
Jesus Christ, Dan.
Really?
Oh my God. Sorry, I'm just trying to think of the little favourites that I put on my toolbar.
Well, this isn't the favourite, this is just an obvious one. Oh, but it is interesting, and that's Beckham in Miami.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, there we go.
Did you see, he was asked, why Miami? Classic Beckham. Why not? It was like he went, this place is set up and loves football.
To be fair to him, he said that the city, you know, has embraced or will embrace the sport. It's a big sporting city, and
anywhere he went,
and he got it for a quarter of the franchise price as well. That might have something to do with it.
It might have something to do with it.
To be fair to David Beckham, if it was Eric
I want
Cantona,
to go to Miami.
If it was Eric Cantona doing that, and someone said, and he said, why not? Everyone would be like, oh, Cantona, classic philosopher. But couldn't it stay Beckham? Why not?
Sky Sports News, did you see who interviewed him on Sky Sports News after it had all been made official? Barton.
Really?
Yeah, not Joey Barton.
Oh.
Warren Barton.
Warren Barton works for Fox Sports.
So he was out there asking. He said, so David, any plans to come out of retirement? And he said, well, the heart says yes, the legs say no, probably not. But he is going to be calling all the shots, apparently. So who he brings in as coach, who they, you know, will be involved in all of the transfers and the rest of it.
Oh, no, so he owns the fucking club.
Yeah. Well, it is his club.
Did you see him on the Jimmy Kimmel show?
With the egg.
Playing egg roulette.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
He did get egg, didn't he?
Yeah. That was pretty funny. That's one of the reasons, that it's really hard to dislike Beckham.
Because he's a nice guy.
He's just a nice lad.
Look at Ronaldo. He wouldn't accept being egged on national television.
No, can you imagine messing up his hair? And obviously, you normally associate David Beckham with, don't mess up his hair. Oh. But he's cracked a fucking egg. Three eggs on his head.
Well, he's got previous, hasn't he? He's done various things down the year for comic relief and things like that.
He's a good lad.
An all-round good guy.
Can I just put something out there?
Well, this can be the last thing because I want another pint and we're running out of time.
Okay, go to the bar, it's fine.
Oh no, I'm not letting you lose
my phone. My mate Gary, he had a bit of a bad start to the week.
My mate Gary.
Well, he's a tree surgeon, so he was up a tree on Monday and he
not in this weather, surely.
Yeah, on Monday. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Well, and actually, the weather was probably one of the reasons why he hurt himself. He only gone and bloody put a chainsaw on it, through his hand. He needed stitches. Not good. No. His week then got worse because he's not allowed to work anymore this week. If you're a tree surgeon, you get up early in the morning, which means evening games of football in the week are probably off limits.
Right.
But he was allowed to go to the Fulham Sheffield United game. Oh,
that's unfortunate.
Oh dear, it just got worse for Gary, didn't
apparently
it?
That was one of the worst games.
20 minutes of football.
One of the worst games of football you've ever seen in your life.
He said it was the coldest and wettest and most miserable he's been in since he can remember.
To be fair though, I was in Baron's Court that evening.
It was a bad night, wasn't it? West London.
You could the noise you could hear coming from Craven Cottage was massive.
From Sheffield United fans.
It must have been. It must have been the entire time. Honestly, like it's a bit of a, you know, it's not miles away, Baron's Court, but it's far enough away. But the noise coming from Craven Cottage was unbelievable. Yeah, you're right. Couldn't have been the Fulham fans. They don't have a voice.
Well, they got outplayed for 120 minutes. I mean, Sheffield United, who are, you know, scraping the bottom of League One, absolutely outplayed Fulham.
They've got to do something. I mean, I'm in Fulham now.
Trouble.
Well, yeah, they've just lost Berbatov. I know he's
gone to Monaco, isn't he?
Well, they've got the lad from Olympiacos, Michalogu, who's done very well in the Champions League.
What about Kaskaraka Rakakos?
Yeah.
Greek players, Sotiris Kyriakos.
That's what I just said.
Karagounis.
In fact, the best one, Stelios Giannakopoulos at Bolton, was very good. But on that note, I think it's been a very nice show. It's been a very nice week. All the usual stuff. Battlefootballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, and follow us at footballpodcast. Dan's off. Goodbye, Dan. I think I've quite deftly avoided talking about United for another week. That was quite good. And we will.